Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
You've been selected for a mission which you are not to discuss with anyone outside of this room. We are engaged in a war with the Soviet Union. This war does not for the moment involve men at arms. It involves information.
Something important has come up.
We've got a Soviet spy.
But there's a wrinkle.
They got our spy pilot. Or the head full of classified information. The Russians want their man back before he cracks. We want you to negotiate the swap.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I'm not sure I want to pick that up.
Are you good at what you do?
This will be a first for the both of us.
You should be careful.
I'm talking to you about the security of your country.
Why aren't we hanging him? He's a spy!
You're asking me to violate the Constitution.
Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters.
That's a bit of the trailer for what is promised to be a blockbuster. It has an Oscar Award-winning producer, it's got an Oscar Award-winning director, and it's got Oscar Award-winning stars and writers. The Bridge of Spies, or Bridge of Spies is the movie, and does it deliver? It tells us true story, and does it tell the story truly? We're going to answer those questions as we review the movie Bridge of Spies. Pastor Ted Giese joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, you've got the Coen brothers, you've got Steven Spielberg, and to top it all off, you have Tom Hanks in the lead role. That itself promises a great movie. Does it deliver on the promise?
Yeah, that's a wonderful pedigree, and from where I was sitting, no, it doesn't. But there may be a reason for that. I was in the theater, I was watching people, and some people were having quite a time with it, but I felt like it was not delivering when it came to things like suspense and tension and drama. Charitably, I would say that maybe the reason why it's not doing that is because he's purposely shifting gears on it to move it away from that so that it can be about an idea, a couple of ideas. But my wife kind of figures maybe that he's just lost his touch.
Okay, you mean Spielberg in this case?
Yeah, Spielberg, yeah.
All right, he's known for telling true stories, especially of this era, and he has done it in the past. In a very compelling way. What's the story he's telling this time?
Well, this time it's the story of this. Really, it's the story of this lawyer named James Donovan, who is an insurance lawyer, and he kind of gets wrangled into being the legal counsel for a Russian spy. And the spy's name is last name is Abel, Rudolf Abel is his name, and he defends this guy, this Russian spy. And through the defense of the Russian spy, he ends up kind of involved with the CIA. Eventually, he ends up helping negotiate a swap of prisoners between United States and the USSR. This is set during the Soviet, American Cold War period of time in the late 50s, early 60s. And so it kind of follows his story, and eventually you end up in East Germany, and they're putting the wall up, and there's all of this stuff, and you're right, it's like, it's all the stuff that should make for just crackling, you know, historical drama. But that's not quite the direction that it goes in terms of it. It follows the history. I'm sure that if you lived then and you saw this movie, like the level of detail and the attention to detail and just like sucking you into that time is done very, very well. But all of the parts where you think it's going to zig towards tense kind of standoff moments or, you know, that kind of stuff, it just kind of like doesn't get tense enough, I didn't think.
Okay, so let's talk about the idea. You say he's trying not so much to communicate an experience, it doesn't sound like, of kind of creating tension and those things through the story, but to communicate some ideas. You say the first one is identity. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think that this is the main idea of the whole thing, and I think that if it was this roller coaster ride, it might get lost in the shuffle, and I'm thinking that's why he did the movie the way he did it. But the idea is identity. So at one point he's sitting down, and his last name, Tom Hanks, is playing this guy, Donovan, and he's sitting down with this CIA agent whose last name is Hoffman. So you have a Donovan and a Hoffman sitting with each other, and what you get is Tom Hanks, as this lawyer Donovan says, to the CIA agent, he points out, I'm Irish, you're German descent, what makes us American? That's the question that he asks. What makes us Americans? And then he proceeds to say that the reason we're Americans is because we have the Constitution and because we pledge ourselves towards upholding that and playing by those rules. If we stop playing by those rules, then are we really Americans? That's the idea that comes out in this. And for his character, he's giving legal counsel to this Russian spy, and it's not popular. But he wants to make sure that this Russian spy gets the same kind of treatment that he would hope an American spy would get if they were caught by the Russians. And, of course, that's what happens. But for him, it's very important that the rights and freedoms that Americans enjoy should be given to this guy because you may have an American sitting in the same spot. So this is a case where he's risen to the occasion of loving his enemy because of this time of war, albeit a Cold War. And that's the main idea. So it's an idea of this identity. What makes you an American? And if you're an American, how are you to act and behave?
And the second idea, you say, has kind of builds upon that one, and that is the pressure to abandon someone's idea there of, you know, this idea that there's a constitution, the only thing keeping us free and American is that, and the pressure to abandon it.
Yeah, it kind of starts, there's a kernel of a conversation that happens between the spy and the lawyer, and it's just this idea of you just have to keep standing up. If somebody knocks you down, you keep standing up. And why? And then the question is, why are you standing up? Is the thing you're worth standing up for? So in the case of Donovan, the reason he's standing up is because he wants to be a good American. And I think that this second question is an interesting one, linked to identity, because it starts to get into the question of, at what point can you stray away from what you've pledged to do? How far can you get away from that and still be the thing you claim to be? You know, so if you take the whole idea and this is good because, like, you can watch a movie and have another idea spring out of it. You take that idea of what makes us American or what makes an American American, and then ask the next question, what makes a Christian a Christian? You know, what makes Lutheran a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Roman Catholic a Roman Catholic? You know, how far away from a confession of faith, an agreed-upon set of doctrines, can you stray before you're not the thing that you claim to be anymore? And I think that's an important question that Christians should ask themselves in their lives and in their communities together, in their congregations, in their synods, in their communions. They should be asking those questions.
Okay, I want to, just in the last few minutes to us, deal with kind of what Spielberg might be doing here. You say that instead of going what is regular fare for these kinds of stories, suspense, thrills, he does and does very well nostalgia. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's his hammer. That's how he hammers this home. Okay, so if you, let's say, like when we sat down in the theater, we were maybe some of the youngest people there. This is not a movie made for young people. Like, it isn't, really. I mean, this is more serious in nature. It's not, let's make history fun so they'll learn something, that kind of way that the world thinks now about teaching things, which isn't a really good way to teach things. But it's not like that. So this is a very serious movie, and because he's not using suspense, he's using nostalgia to hammer the point home. So like I said, if you lived then in like the 1950s, late 50s, early 60s as a kid, I think you're going to ask the question, you know, who were we then and who are we now? I think that's the question that gets asked kind of because of the nostalgia. And we've talked about this a bunch of times this year. This is like the year of nostalgia. Everything is all nostalgia all the time. But I think for like people who grew up at that point, so the baby boomer crowd, right? The people who grew up at that age, they're going to be asking, well, where are we as Americans today compared to where we were then? So then it kind of becomes a reflective thing. And I really think that that's what he wants to be doing. I think he wants audiences to be more reflective about what's going on. And not just an exciting thrill ride or whatever, because he can do that. He's done that with Indiana Jones and Jaws and, you know, Jurassic Park and all those kinds of movies. And, like, even Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan were based in historical events. They were still more, you know, suspenseful than this is. But I think that the idea is for people to think about what they're watching and apply it to themselves.
Okay, so is two questions here to close this off. Is Spielberg, perhaps in this case, a victim of his own past? And that would be that he makes these movies that keep you on the edge of your seat. This one doesn't so much. It tells a great story, but it doesn't do that. Or is it simply that he's a victim of the guy who cut the trailer together? The trailer made the movie look like it was going to be a thrill ride and doesn't turn out to be that.
I think it's both those things. Because the trailer looks intense and exciting, and like I was like, I want to go see that movie. I think it's probably both of those things. I imagine that he was probably around the age. There's a character in the movie who's the son of Tom Hanks's character, who's like 11, and he's like watching the nuclear bomb blast like films in school, and he's filling up the bathtub worrying about, and again, this all sounds really compelling and really dramatic, but I think he was probably close to that age. Like, he was maybe a little older than that, but that was him during those years. He experienced all that, and he wants people to think about it today, and like, or take those thoughts and apply them to now, or keep thinking about these things.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, can a Christian take away from this a good story of someone who believes something in spite of all the pressure not to, really even the risk of his life?
I think so. I mean, this James Donovan character is a flawed character. Like, you know, he's not like a Martin Luther type, really. I mean, he does definitely like lie at different points to try to advance the general thing that he's trying to get across. Like, he lies to his wife about where he is when he's in Germany doing this negotiation stuff. But he is somebody who cares about the other person, the other guy. So there is this kind of vocational fulfillment of his role as a lawyer in the best possible sense, that he actually wants to help the other person, regardless of who they are. Make sure they get due process, all that kind of stuff. I think that's very good. It's a really nice, you know, movie about vocation, and also, yeah, being true to something that you've agreed upon, even if it rubs other people the wrong way. And there's piles of moments in this movie where police officers and lawyers and judges and all sorts of people are like, why are you doing this? And you know, he's the guy that has to keep reminding them the Constitution. You know, we want to make sure that we're treating people the right way. That, you know, so it is, I think a Christian viewer can get a lot out of it. What you're not getting out of it is the super excitement, roller coaster ride kind of thing. If you want that, probably wait to go see Spectre, or maybe go see Man from U.N.C.L.E. if it's still playing somewhere from earlier this year. That's a different kind of spy movie than this. This is courtrooms, negotiations. That's what this is.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of this movie, Bridge of Spies, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer for the remainder of this hour. He joins us every week to do our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, we're going to go to the shortest book, one very easy to overlook in the Old Testament, the book of Obadiah, and find Christ there.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.